Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Holy Father, you are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. We openly admit, if we look at ourselves, we look at our hearts, we look at the actions that we have done, Lord, we do not see you all the time as great and greatly to be praised. In fact, the history of our life, apart from your mercy and the work of your grace in our life, is one of a trail of betrayal, of sin, of not seeing you as you truly are in your greatness and glory, but despising you and lifting up our own glory above you. We do so, and in that we commit heinous sins. We lie, we deceive, we judge others as deserving of less mercy. We disobey our parents. We do not honor them. We take things that are not ours and we hide it. We misrepresent others. We misrepresent God. We presume to tell others who God is and what he is like when you have not revealed such. We worship the things that you have been made. We give our time and our money and our energy to things that are a vapor in the wind. And then we say we have no time for the Lord. Father, our sin is great. If we could count it, we could not truly ever end. Lord, forgive us for the lack of sensitivity that sees our sin as casual, as just part of life, as flippant. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would remind us of the depth of what we have been saved from, that we might see the glory of what we have been saved by and what we have been saved to. Oh Lord, in our sin, in our mess, you sent your only Son, the perfect and righteous, holy Son of God, who lived his life in absolute obedience in every thought, deed, attitude. You kept the law perfectly. Your greatest desire, O Lord Jesus, was to please your Father and to do so in every way, all the way even to the point of death. The only true, unjust sufferer is the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin of his own, but in doing so, he paid for our sin. He won our right to be called children of God, not by anything that we've done, in spite of all that we've done. What a great mercy. And now, Lord, you count us as yours. You beckon us, call us into fellowship, that we might know only your grace, your compassion, your guidance, your truth, your discipline. What a gift. Father, we pray, Lord, you'd help these truths to settle into our heart and our mind, that we might worship you with a whole heart, that we might be grateful to you for the life that you give, for the mercy you show us, for the calling that you place upon our life. Lord, I pray that you would renew in our hearts, rejuvenate us to hear the gospel again and to believe it anew and to rejoice in it with vigor and to go out from here and to do good according to your word, that others might see the glory of Christ, that they might see the change that is in us, the goodness that you give in us by your Spirit, and that the word of Christ will go forth. Father, let us rejoice anew in you again, in what Christ has done. Help us to see the glory of God, the holiness of God, the wretchedness of our sin, and the infinite mercy we have received in Christ. And let us give our lives to you wholeheartedly. We pray for Bob as he comes to preach your word to us this morning. We pray, Lord, that the meditation that has been on his heart as he's looked over this passage, Lord, we pray that you would let that pour forth in clear truth and gospel-saturated truth in our hearts and lives. Lord, we pray that we would hear it with vigor and with joy and with repentance, Lord. Shift our attitudes and our hearts that we might rejoice in Christ and give our lives to you wholeheartedly. Thank you for his study. Thank you for his commitment. Be with him now, Lord, as he shares your word with us and proclaims the glory of Christ. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning to all of you. Please turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is a parallel passage to the one which our brother read a few minutes ago. It is a continuation of the study that he's been doing in the Gospel of Luke. And he's asked me to grab the baton and keep on going. So that's what we'll do with Luke chapter 5. So I'm going to read verses 27 to 32, similar to what our brother read, but try to notice the differences. They are important. They're not always saying exactly the same thing under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So Luke 5, verse 27. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector. This is Jesus who went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." This part was not in Matthew. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them. I like that. Levi's there, the disciples are there, the words are being directed to them. But Jesus answers them. We'll say something about that in a couple minutes. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I feel like the sermon today is just a punctuation mark. All of the music and the prayers have directly and specifically and certainly explained what we're talking and thinking about today. So I'll just put an exclamation point at the end of all that. Let me introduce you to the man in today's Bible passage. The Gospels of Mark and Luke call him Levi. Matthew, in his gospel, gives him the name Matthew. Why the difference? Your further personal study will tell you that it is the same man with two names. Matthew, the gospel writer, is Levi, the tax collector. Now, reverse that. That's incredible. Levi, the tax collector, is now Matthew, the gospel writer. That's good to know. Keep that in mind. Matthew makes it clearer when he lists Jesus' disciples in chapter 10, verse 13 of his gospel. He calls himself Matthew the tax collector. He's number 8 on the list. I mean, you're writing a gospel with your own name. Why not put you first? But under inspiration, he's number 8. Levi, he's a Jewish man. He's at work when Jesus meets him. It says he's at the tax booth. He's a tax collector. He works for the Roman government collecting those taxes. Right there is a problem. The Roman government was taking dominance, was in control of the Jews. And Levi works for the Roman government, not as a chef, but a tax collector. Why or how Levi secured this job, we do not know. But here he is, somewhere near, you look at the context, somewhere near the Sea of Galilee, along a road, perhaps one of the more important roads where people, vendors, businessmen would travel, and he's there with his hand out collecting tariffs. You've heard that word, collecting taxes as they go by. Levi is despised for collecting taxes from his own people for Rome. He wasn't invited to many dinners. We don't like that here in Jewish world. Being despised is justified because these Jewish IRS agents for Rome cheat the people. If we back up just one page here in Luke's gospel, we find some tax collectors meeting John the Baptist. Interesting, in chapter 3 and verse number 12. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" What's he say? "Collect no more than you're authorized to do." You're cheating. You're stealing. You're robbing. You see, that's what they did. Rome says, collect this. Okay, we'll collect that. And we'll just add a little extra of collection to that. That's one reason why we hear in verse number 30 of chapter 5 that Pharisees condemn tax collectors, and he says they're buddies with the sinners. Oh, that word sinners, that's kind of a catch-all. It collects quite a number. You look at chapter 18 of the Gospel of Luke, where we find a Pharisee and a tax collector, and look at the description that's given there. Well, that's where we are. So with that summary, let's look at the text. I'm only going to dig frosting deep today. You know what that means? We're only going to dig frosting deep today. There's a lot of theology cake under the frosting. But you know what? Luke doesn't mention that. He kind of gives us the glaze, the frosting over the top. And he wants us on our own to do some thinking about the theology cake that he's frosted here. It's there, but he himself limits himself to see what I see as four consequences of the call of Levi. Now, I want you to get these. If you want to look at the back of your bulletin, you can list them there. They'll be up here. Four consequences of the call of the Lord to Levi. And if you say, he's called me, I'm going to hold you to these four as well. These should interest anyone who harmonizes with this text by saying, I will follow Jesus. I'm in harmony with that. That's me. Is that you today? Point A, then, first of all, I will experience some transformation. There's no such thing as genuinely following Jesus without transformation. Will you accept that word transformation here as I read again verses 27 and 28? After this, he went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Now that just bleeds transformation, doesn't it? It's like a megaphone shouting out that word transformation right there in those two verses. Levi turns his back on some familiarity, everything he knew, security, job, income, stability, prosperity. He's leaving it all behind for what? For what? He does not know what he's leaving it for. He cannot know. He does not need to know. He just needs to follow Jesus. The words, follow me, they're not merely a suggestion or an invitation. They're more like a summons. Did you ever get a summons? You appear for juror duty. You're summoned. That's different than suggestion, invitation. He gets a summons. Those words, follow me, are in the imperative mood. He is irresistibly attracted to Jesus at this split second. When Jesus says, follow me, there's some power in those words. Like a sheep, Levi hears the shepherd's voice. What? Follow you. Okay. I'll follow you. That's what sheep do with their shepherd. Something in those gracious words meshes, synchronizes with Levi's mind, his heart, his will. They just capture him. It all makes sense to him that this is a thing to do. What is? To be transformed. Leave everything. I'm caught. I'm yours. I will follow Jesus. Now is his day of salvation. That means that now is his day of transformation. Jesus concludes with a word in verse number 32. That is like icing on the icing. We're talking about icing, so we'll ice it some more here. Scoop up with both mental hands that word repentance. You got it? That word bleeds transformation. You don't have repentance without transformation. Repentance, you want a simple way to put it? It means turn. Turn. Turn from sin. Turn from self. Turn from, well, he says in verse number 28, leaving everything. Turn from everything to him, to follow him. Whatever else the Holy Spirit directed Luke to write about Levi, right up here, high on the bulletin board, there it is, transformation. Do you agree with me? Nod, do whatever you want to let me know. And will you agree that this is not an unusual case? Transformation is basic to anyone who will follow Jesus. How does the Apostle Paul say it in 2 Corinthians 5:17? He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, relationship with Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That all sounds transformation to me. How about it, Dad? Mom? Teenager? Anybody that will say, I will follow Jesus, I am following Jesus, is there observable transformation? Is it there? Is it clear? Is your singing transformed? Is your pocketbook transformed? Is your reaction to your coach transformed? You see, that's where it goes, all over the place, like that. I'm going to leave everything the way I was, and I'm going to follow Jesus. What's that mean? It means transformation. It brings us to the second point, B. I will enjoy some celebration. Are you as delighted as I am to read verse 29? Isn't it great? Look at it. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. I don't see Levi here having second thoughts. I don't see him regretting his decision. I don't see him here struggling at all with what he's had to give up, what he's left behind, he says, let's celebrate what's just happened. That's amazing. I mean, the guy has lost it all, supposedly. He's not like Lot's wife, who turned back longing for what she had to leave behind and what happened to her. Levi is transformed. He holds a celebration with tables spread with food, countless number of guests. Can you see Levi beaming? Imagine him. He's got to be smiling, even if he's missing a tooth. He's just got to be beaming with this crowd of people, everybody eating, enjoying each other's company, but celebrating him. No, really, it's the other way around. He's celebrating with them there. He's transformed. He's not full of regret, saddened by the decision that he's made. And he did make it. By the irresistible power of the Lord, but he'd made it. And he doesn't say, now what have I done? He's not here just putting on a happy face. He's not struggling to face the future. Where do I go now? I don't have any income. What's going to happen to me? Transformation I believe this is true of everybody. Transformation leads to celebration. Not reluctance, not oh no, not no change. Now don't miss the guest list here at this celebration. There's a guest list. As we read the three Matthew, Mark, Luke gospel accounts, we know Jesus is there, and other disciples who have been chosen already have their place, munching away, eating, discussing. And we'd expect Jesus and the disciples to be on the guest list of this man who has just gone through an incredible spiritual transformation. But Levi, get it, Levi has invited his friends. And who are the only friends Levi has? Most of the Jewish people don't want anything to do with him. Who does? Other tax collectors, sinners, that bunch. Levi has invited his old friends from before he was transformed, right? So that this celebration includes evangelization. I'm inviting all my buddies to hear about what I have found, what I have seen, what I have come to know. Do you see it here? Levi, who has in one sense just lost, or maybe we should say just left everything, wants his friends to know that he has really found everything that he needs in following Jesus. He wants all of them who are going to say, Levi, are you crazy? What are you doing, Levi? Well, come to dinner and I'll explain it to you. Or as that one actor says, I'll explain it to you. Can you imagine Levi going from one tax collector to another, from one sinner to another, pointing over at Jesus, telling them, he transformed me. Now listen up. Many of us have responded to Jesus calling us to follow him. At least we've made that profession. Yes. Yes, I've done that. I've come to follow Jesus. And some of us may have left everything or a lot to do it. Hopefully, at least in our minds, in our lives, we have that spirit, that attitude. Lord, I am willing to leave it all. You may not ask me to, but I'm ready to be just like Levi. And if we have made that commitment, let's keep celebrating that. No regrets. No, why did we ever do this? No regrets. Maybe you need to set a date for a new celebration at your house. I'm encouraging you to do that. Set a new, I've never seen you celebrate over your salvation, your transformation. I'd like to see it. You know, like renewing your vows. Let's renew our celebration. Invite the elders. Call in some of your church family. And maybe contact some of the tax collectors and sinners you used to hang around with. Maybe they need to come, shocked as they might be, for you to invite them. I think Levi here has something. This is something to consider for transformed teenagers. Oh, you teenager claim to have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've said, I'm here to follow Jesus. Why not have pizza and Pepsi and invite the tax collectors and sinners from your past and tell them why you've invited them? Celebrating Jesus. How about it, moms, dads, neighbors, every follower of Jesus? Who will your guest list include? Safe people, Jesus lookalikes, disciple acting likes, or a couple of these others? Anyone you want to celebrate with who needs to meet and follow Jesus, just like you? Got to move on. Point C, I will endure some confrontation. I will follow Jesus. I'm going to experience a transformation, and I'm going to enjoy some celebration, and it's not all going to be roses. Have you heard the name Oil Can Harry? Some of you, I think, have. Oil Can Harry, it's just not good. He's a villain in cartoons. And here he comes, right here. In fact, not one, but several Oil Can Harrys show up. The Pharisees and their scribes don't like what they're witnessing, what they're hearing. Now, I don't think they've actually gotten into the banquet, but they're hanging around outside and they see what's going on. Who's going in there anyway? What's happening in this place? They have foaming bile to spew over the whole celebration. We don't like this. They complain first to each other. Then they complain to the disciples. And ultimately they complain to Jesus himself. Can you feel the gray clouds rolling over Levi's celebration? I mean, the guy's just delighted. He's transformed. It's incredible what he's experiencing. He's left everything, but he's gotten everything. Here come the Pharisees and the scribes. Leading religious officials. They object to everything. They don't like who, they don't like what, they don't like how. This is quite a challenge for Levi as a new follower of Jesus. Now, you can imagine if he's been converted for 10 years and kind of had some of the experiences of life, but nope, same day. Same day, he's got some confrontation. But you know the key? He's been transformed. That tells you right away he's going to make it. He has made the commitment to leave everything for Jesus. Surely he's going to pass this test of confrontation. That's what the truly transformed do. You do know, right? There are Oil Can Harrys around today. You can spot them, you know, oil in their clothing. Is it possible that someone has let the helium out of your celebration balloons as you follow Jesus? Have you been trying to follow the Lord Jesus and somebody, some former friend, some family member, the parent of the child toward the parent, just has cut right into that balloon? Trying to celebrate my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's this one that I feed. and give a bed to, confronting me about the faith. You're not going to let that stop you, though, will you? Why? Because you're transformed. And you've already celebrated. And here comes some of that, but you'll keep on going. Fourth point, D, I will explain some revelation. It's not just going to be at my celebration, the latest Reader's Digest humor in uniform section. Did you notice that Jesus steps in here as an advocate for Levi? You know, you've got these bad guys, the oil can Harrys, and you've got the disciples, and Levi is trying to hold everything together with this banquet that's going on, and the strength of the Pharisees and scribes is getting stronger and gaining here. And Levi, what are you going to do? Disciples? No, Jesus says, I'll handle this one. I love that about Jesus. He's my advocate too. Is he yours? If you're transformed, he is. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll step in. I'll be there. Like a defense attorney, Jesus handles the case. The Pharisees complained that mixing with tax collectors and all these different kinds of sinners, quite a list if you look elsewhere. They said, that's not good. That's not appropriate. And how does Jesus defend it? He explains. He's not just explaining, he's revealing something about himself. And I think this is a key thing for us who claim to be transformed and want to celebrate it. We've got to say something that Jesus reveals right here. He says, doctors go where they are needed. They treat the sick. Can we get an amen, Pharisees? Can we agree on that much? Can we say, yes, we're with you so far. We hate to agree with you, Jesus, but that's true. Doctors are for sick people. And so Jesus goes where he's needed. He does not need to call people who think they're already right with God. He says, I'm not going to get anywhere with these folks. They already think they're, well, look at it. If you look at Luke 18, verse number 1, it says this Pharisee goes up to the temple. The Pharisees, he trusted in himself that he was right with God. Jesus says, you do need me, but you don't want me, so I'm not going to bother with you. So he calls sinners to a life of transformation, which leads to celebration. That's what happens. And isn't the revelation that we need to explain to sinners today given here, Jesus sums up neatly our message in verse 32. Do you see it? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus reveals, number one, that he came. He says, I've come. Here's who I am. And we find as we go on through the Gospels who he is, Son of Man, Son of God. I have come. Okay, that's part of our message, part of the revelation, and why he came. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You may think you need a doctorate in something or other, all written out, single-spaced, in order to talk to somebody about Jesus and why you're celebrating him. Say, I know somebody who's come. Say a little more about that. And I know somebody who's come to help sinners. Simple enough. Clear enough. Now we might say, Jesus, why didn't you say a little more? Jesus, you don't have 3 points here. And they don't all start with the same letter. Come on, Jesus, give us a little more than that. He says, here's what I'm going to tell you. He calls sinners transformed followers of Jesus. That's why he came. The ones who are celebrating their salvation in Jesus, they are just the ones to explain that. Who should explain about Jesus coming and why he came? Anybody that's transformed. Anyone who says, that voice, that call, that nudge within my soul, that shepherd looking for his sheep, I get it, and I'm going to tell it. You can do this. Let me ask you, most of you here, maybe all of you in here, can read. Could I just suggest to you, take this story. Invite over all the IRS agents and anyone else that you can get to come and say, could I just read something for you? It's only that long in my Bible. It won't take long at all. I want to reveal something to you. Read this story about Levi. And then come up with 4 words. Oh, maybe transformation, celebration, confrontation. What's the last one? Revelation. You can do that. You've got people that you know that you left behind when you came to Christ, and they're dying and going to hell. Can I read them a story and make some comments? Will you do it? Conclusion. Maybe you are one who was already kindly, undeservedly summoned by Jesus. Be interesting if we just took a little poll. How about 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago? It'd just be interesting to know. Are you one of those who has already been summoned? And did Jesus, by his grace and mercy to you, transform you? He didn't perfect you yet. I know that. I know me. But transformation, yes. And maybe then you celebrated. I wonder how you celebrated. You see, we ought to get together and talk about that. What did you do? How did you celebrate? Octavia is going to do it here in a week. One way, in the waters of baptism. That's celebration. That's a time for the people of God to get here and clap hands. That's rejoicing in transformation. Jesus did that. Celebrate it. Why don't you celebrate again? I encourage this. Others will help. We'll come. We'll bring the finger jello. Whatever you want to have. But why don't we do that from time to time, get together, and you celebrate before us how Jesus transformed you? That shouldn't be too hard if he has. Teenagers ought to do that. Kids, we bring our kids to the place where we say, let's have them baptized. Okay, fine. Let's see the transformation. Let's hear the celebration still going on. Tell us again that you are transformed and that you are determined to keep on following Jesus no matter who or what confronts you. I will follow Jesus. Now maybe you're not following Jesus. Will you join Levi and us today? Maybe you thought you were, maybe cousin did it, so I did it too. Is Jesus summoning you to leave something or to leave everything for him? Do you need to repent of your sin and self-centered life and turn to the Lord right now? Is that what you need to do? Because if you don't, no hope. We will celebrate with you if you do. We will sit at the feast with you as you tell one and all how God has saved you from your sin. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to sit together and to listen to this one or that one and say, that would be so good. If you have not come to follow Christ, I want you to consider this well before you leave today. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son, that he did come, that he has been calling sinners to repentance, and many have left everything and are following him. Lord, help everyone here who's following to press on and celebrate some more. And help anyone here who is refusing to bow the knee to follow Jesus. Only you can do this by your Spirit. We pray that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.